Speak to us your living word and help us not only to be hearers and speakers of your word, but to be doers. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends are important and wonderful part of life. And I'm sure many of us will attest to this. And that is why we should carefully select who they are and always treasure them. In the past few months of our ministry here in Kaluk, I have consistently seen and preached during funerals about what I see to be real friendship. People who are able to stand by their friends at all times. And each of these experiences have always brought to light the scripture that says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm sure many of us have treasured memories of friends. Our boys, parents, grands, everybody here, you have treasured memories of friends. People that each time you remember them, you smile. And for some of them, they may not be here again. For some of them, they may be with the Lord, or they've traveled. Maybe they've moved. Maybe moved to New Zealand, to Australia, to Canada, to America. Where sometimes, now that it's morning, you think it is morning everywhere, only to realize that they are deep asleep. And so you need to negotiate to find the best time to make your calls. I'm sure you have treasured memories of friends. Yesterday, I spoke with one of my friends that means a lot to us. And this friend is also a minister in Nigeria. And he told me that today, too, in his congregation, they have BB enrollment service. In fact, there is something interesting about this friend of mine. When he wedded, I was the best man, and Favor was the chief bridesmaid of the wife. And they wedded in March, and we wedded in June of the same year. And when we wedded, he was my best man too. But the wife wasn't the chief bridesmaid, so it didn't work that way. But there is something interesting about that, and they are also having enrollment service. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We are doing enrollment service of BB in Scotland, and at the same time, there's an ongoing BB enrollment in Nigeria. And perhaps if I had spoken with other friends in Zambia or maybe somewhere else, if all the people in Zambia were all my friends, then it is possible to have found a place too in Zambia where they are having enrollment service today. Again, just to show you the global nature of what we are doing here today. That the boys, you are part of a bigger family. The BB is bigger than our company. You are a part of a global, in fact, it is called Global Fellowship, and I'll come back to that in a moment. And so you can see this, and for some of you, you have these stories about your friends, people you treasure in your lives. Though we have friends who have touched us or touched our lives in many ways, the most important friend that we can ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of hymns, like What a Friend We Have in Jesus, celebrates this wonderful truth. What a friend we have in Jesus. Although Jesus calls the disciples his friends, he is still their Lord and Master. And I think we need to hold that in balance. He is not just our pal, you know, our pal. He is also our Lord and our Master. And at the same time, he is our friend. And we need to keep that in balance. After Peter's resurrection in John chapter 21 from verse 15 to 20. In verse 21, Peter called Jesus Lord. Lord is a general Greek word for a master. It means master. The key point is that although Jesus is our friend, we are to always show reverence to him and his name. So we do not take it for granted that he's our friend. Just like you don't take your friends for granted. You respect and honor your friends because you love them. And so if we love the Lord as our friend, we reverence him. We honor him. We give him the honor that is due him. The Bible teaches that by nature we are all God's enemies because he is holy and we have all sinned. But the good news is this, that God sent Jesus to reconcile sinners to himself. Jesus' love for us is most vividly seen at the cross of Calvary, where he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. As friends of Jesus, we are to love one another, obey his command, pay attention to his teachings, and bear fruits. Fruits that will remain. Fruits that will outlive us. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. How much are we prepared to sacrifice, to suffer, or to put up with for the sake of friendship? Now, every now and then, we read news about someone who literally sacrificed his or her life to save someone else. Maybe on the battlefield, we see this with our serving soldiers. In fact, last September, after I preached here, and that reminds me, you know, today is exactly 1 year that I preached here with borrowed suit, borrowed shoe, borrowed everything, borrowed collar. Everything borrowed. In fact, what did I not borrow? I didn't borrow the pulpit. The pulpit was here. So, and after I had finished and was returning to Nigeria, there was this friend. I knew him many years ago, and he's serving in the army. He's serving, you know, you hear stories about Nigeria, the Boko Haram, in the northeast of the country. And it happened that he was serving right there. And the few stories he told me were very terrifying. In fact, during the course of the service, he came with his son and wife, and he said the church should pray for him in case this was his last time of coming back. That from the event of things, the things they see, that it is possible this might be his last. And he asked the church to please pray for the wife and pray for the son and stand by them in case anything happens to him. In fact, he couldn't even shave because he said there, you don't even have chance to do that. And he will put his life on the line for the sake of others. You also know of soldiers who are fighting. Right now, we are sitting here quietly worshiping the Lord, but there are people all through the night, 7 days, 24 hours, they are awake. Keeping watch of the nation, keeping watch of territories. They lay their lives, they keep their lives on the line for the sake of others. We also hear stories of people who give their lives in a bid to rescue drowning people or to save someone from inside a burning house. We also read stories about others who donate kidney to a stranger. You might wonder and say, you know, I can't die for another person. It is not just some big act of dying for our friends, but every day laying our lives, letting something of ourselves go, letting some personal interests go, our time, our talents, our money, for the sake of Christ. It's not just dying, going to the battlefield to die. It's not just giving blood or something, which are all important. Again, it comes back to our talents, our time, and our money. The object of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys and the promotion of habits of obedience, reverence, discipline, self-respect, and all that tends towards a true Christian manliness. The Boys Brigade was the first voluntary uniformed youth movement in the world. And many of today's organizations for young people can trace their roots back through history to the Boys Brigade. The Boys Brigade was founded in Glasgow. And many of us, we know that on 4th October 1883 by Sir William Alexander Smith. From that one company formed in Scotland, the BB has grown into a worldwide movement. In fact, last Tuesday, I was taking assembly at Kaluk High School. And I was telling him a story about another great Scot who has affected the world history. And that's the person of Mary Slezer. It was just a snap story. Just to show a little bit about how much Scotland has affected the world. Just from one company in Glasgow, BB has grown, and today it's a worldwide. In fact, in Nigeria, it was founded in 1908, and you find it in Australia, in different parts of Africa, in New Zealand, in America, in Canada, all over the world. You have Boys Brigade everywhere. It just started in Glasgow, and you can imagine how a little act of service can impact positively on the entire world. And I'm sure that when Williams started the Boys Brigade, he never knew that it would spread this way. He would have thought he was only serving his community in Glasgow, taking care of the boys. I'm sure he'll be surprised to see that everywhere, most places in the world, you have the Boys Brigade company. Through the Global Fellowship, the Boys Brigade is united with more than 1 million children and youth and young people across the globe. For the boys, growing bigger, growing better, 1,000 kilometer challenge, World Mission Fund, Duke of Edinburgh Award, Queen's Badge, and other activities within the Boys Brigade provides you with opportunities to engage with the need of others locally, nationally, and globally, and encourages you to participate in activities and projects in which you can make a real difference. In fact, in BB, it is always said, the adventure really does begin here. And so you belong to this fantastic family where you can make big difference in the life of people here and beyond. A story tells, and I stumbled into this story, that two friends were walking through the desert. During one point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped. I don't encourage you to slap your friends, please, because some slap can be very dangerous. But that friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got this, who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, he wrote on the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mud and started drowning, but the friend saved him. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slapped and saved his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts you, you should write it down in sand, where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for you, you must engrave it in a stone, where no wind can ever erase it." And that is why I think for many of us here, you can still remember acts of kindness that was done to you many, many years ago. Because in many ways, they were written on stones. There is no doubt that small things done with great love can change the world. Part of being a blessing to others is being alert to opportunities. If you need to affirm, or if you are prompted to affirm someone, do it. Say it. Say to someone, "Well done, you've done well." If you wonder if someone is in need, offer to help. If you find yourself thinking of a person, go a step further and act. I have shared a story here some time ago about an aunt that I got in Edinburgh some years ago. It was not a big aunt, it was big in many ways. I walked into a bookstore, the bookstore that was in 121 before, which was closed down. I just walked into it. I thought nobody was ready to smile at me. And I frowned I never knew I frowned my face, but I think I later realized I frowned my face. I was just busy moving from the aisles, looking for books. And there was this couple, they were coming right after me. And the wife was, you know, giving signs and asking me to stop. But I didn't expect somebody to speak to me who doesn't know me, asking me to stop, to wait. "Could you wait?" I kept moving. And the more I was moving, the more she was coming after me. I knew I was safe in the place, so I didn't have to bother. There was no reason to raise alarm, so I felt I was really safe. She was just coming right after me, until she got to where I stopped and tapped my back, and I turned and I smiled. She smiled back and said, "I just wanted you to smile." And that was it. She walked away. And I continued. Little act of kindness. There are people in the church out there